That is a great song and a perfect song to talk about what we're talking about today. We're talking about the loving church. We're in a series right now called We Are the Church. Today I want to just take a look at what it means to be a loving church. How many know that God wants us to be a loving church? Let me tell you what, you already are a loving church, but we're going to take it up to another level in our understanding. Amen? Amen. So I could have picked so many different scriptures on love this morning, because there's so many in the Bible on love, but let me just kind of take one that'll kind of just kind of lead us in the right direction here this morning and give us the big idea, all right? The Bible says this, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. In other words, we're to imitate God. How many of you think that that would be a good thing, amen? To be imitators of God as beloved children. So right away, the Word of God is saying, you are beloved, you are loved. And then it says, and walk in love. Say it with me this morning, walk in love. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So the first thing we're learning here this morning is that we need to just walk in love. Walking is like walking into, it's the journey that we're on together. We're walking in love. Everything that we do, every turn that we make, in other words, every day that we live, we're walking in love. Amen? But walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. A fragrant, in other words, walk as Christ loved us. How did Christ love us? He loved us with an unconditional love. So we need to love others as Christ has loved us. Whoa. Amen? How many of you are greatly loved by Jesus? Amen? If we are greatly loved, we need to be great lovers of others as well. A fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Now, I want you to think about this, a fragrant offering. It's a whole nother sermon, but watch this. When we offer up our praise and when we live our lives, when we're living lives of love, it's like a fragrant offering to God. Let me just say this, that a loving church is a sweet church. It has a sweet fragrance about it, where a unloving church has a more of a bitter fragrance about it. You don't want to be around that one. But a loving church is a sweet church. How many believe that that's true? Amen? In other words, you walk away from a church and you go like, man, that is a sweet church filled with sweet people. Let me tell you what, that's a loving church that pleases the heart of God. So we're going to look at it this morning. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you, Lord God, that you loved us first. And Lord, your love is shed abroad in our hearts. Help us, Lord God, this morning to see what a loving church really looks like. And Lord, help us to be the loving persons and the loving people you've called us to be. And we pray it in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. You may be seated. God bless you. I'm going to talk this morning about being a loving church. And we are the title of our message, this our series right now is We Are the Church. Say with me this morning, we are the church. And so for the next 3 weeks, I've extended this series just for three more messages. First of all, we're going to talk about the loving church this morning. Then next week, we're going to be talking about the relational church, kind of work hand in hand. But I want to talk next week about how we speak to one another and how we listen to one another, how we listen and how we speak, and about how we relate to others. So we'll talk about that next week. And then the third week, we'll talk about the life-giving church that is going to be a message that I believe will bless all of us. It's a life-giving church. But today we're going to talk about the loving church and how it looks and how it acts. This morning, I was walking downstairs, and our children are in town this weekend. They came to visit us, and yesterday we went up to the Bishop's Pumpkin Patch over in Wheaton. And it was fun to see that with the family and all the three grandkids. So we have three grandchildren. They're in the house today. I walked downstairs. Our house looks like there has been an explosion that took place. There is junk everywhere. On the floor, all of the toys have been dragged out that we keep for the kids. They're everywhere. I don't know why they can't play with one at a time. They get them all out. And then they put them aside. And I mean, there's everywhere. So it looks like just collateral damage, whatever you want to say. But my daughter was down there this morning, making breakfast early this morning, and I came down to get my oatmeal. I opened up the bag of oatmeal. I had this bag of oatmeal that I bought, some really good oatmeal, and then I cut it with the scissors, and then I spilled it on the floor. And then so I had all this oatmeal particles everywhere. And then, but thank God for my little dog, Macy. She just came and started eating dry oatmeal right off the ground. Every single speck of it she ate. And I said, Mom, well, you're worth having around. And anyway, then Ashley asked me, as she's making breakfast for the little for her kids, my daughter, she says, Dad, what are you preaching on today? What are you preaching about today? I said, well, we're in a series right now called We Are the Church. And today I'm speaking on the loving church. She goes, the loving church. She goes, that's Harvest Church. That's the loving church. Man, that's, if my daughter can just see that, what I already know to be true, and she only is here, be able to be here a couple of times a year, but she already sees this place as a loving church. What I'm saying, everyone, this morning, you already are a loving church, but God's going to take us to a little bit higher level in our love. How many of you think that that'd be okay? Amen? So do what you're doing already, but let's just do what we're doing in a better way. Now, the starting point to see what a loving church looks like is to discover what our Bible, what the Word of God has to say about love, all right? So if you'll immerse yourself in the study of love, you'll become a more loving person. Let me just say that again. If you'll immerse yourself in the study of love, you'll become, a more loving person. Love will become a part of your makeup and a part of your spiritual DNA, all right? You'll just be a loving person. Just kind of read the Word of God by love, about love, and love will become a part of you. So think of it this way. I've got a bottle of water here this morning, and I'll try not to spill it today. The more water, the more water you drink, the more hydrated you'll be, right? So if I keep on drinking water, the more water that I drink, the more hydrated that I'll be. But the less water that I drink, the less hydrated I'll be. In other words, I'll be dehydrated. The more that you learn about love, the more loving you will be. You'll have a surplus of love. But the less you read about love or less you learn about love, the less loving you'll be, and you'll have a deficit of love. So today, we're going to take time to learn a little bit more about love. As we do it, you're going to become a more loving person and we'll become a more loving church. How many of you think that that's a good exchange for the next 30 minutes? Can I get a witness? Amen. So I want to just start by saying this. Love is what matters most. Say it with me this morning. Love is what matters most. In fact, Jesus said this, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you can quote all of the books of the Bible verbatim, all 66, without making an error. No. He said, by this all will know you, my disciples, if you have love one for another. Say it with me this morning. If you have love one for another, that's the litmus test of a loving church, if we have love one for another. Man, I pray that when people walk into this place, and this happens over and over, but I hope that they experience love every time that they walk into this place. Not a cold church, but a warm, loving church. How many of you are with me this morning? Amen? And so the Bible also goes on to say this, let love be your highest goal. If you have a high goal, what does Jesus think the highest goal should be? Let love be your highest goal. And then the Bible says this, do everything in love. Say it with me this morning, do everything in love. Now, let's give a definition to love this morning. Love has all kinds of definitions, but let's give it a definition this morning. Love is a feeling of deep affection that defines our relationship with God and determines how we should treat others. Now, love is a feeling of deep affection. So many times in the church world today, we kind of diminish feelings, but feelings are important. I know we talk about you shouldn't trust your feelings. Sometimes we discount our feelings or diminish our feelings, but I want to tell you this morning, feelings are important. And let me tell you what, we have a Savior who has feelings towards us. When he looks down on us, he had feelings of compassion and mercy towards us. Aren't you glad that God, that Jesus felt something when he sees us? Amen? So he feels something. In fact, when Jesus saw Lazarus was going to die, he wept. Jesus wept when he saw that Lazarus was going to die. So he's touched by the feelings of our infirmity. It causes him to feel compassion towards us. So love is a feeling. How many of you know that you have those of you that are married or those of you that are dating somebody, you'd rather have someone actually feel in love with you than just to say, well, I am in love, can't you tell? Can I get a witness? I mean, honestly, love's not just a cerebral thing, it's a heart thing. There's feeling in it. So let's go back to the definition. What is love? It's a feeling of deep affection that defines our relationship with God and determines how we should treat others. Really loving from the heart. Now, what does a loving church look like? Let's go through these very quickly this morning, as quick as we can, but let each one of you speak to you. Now, Each one of these points that I'm giving this morning point to just one thing. They point to the loving church. So that's the big idea this morning, that we want to walk in love and be a loving church. That's the one thing that I want you to remember. And we'll talk about different facets of that diamond of truth, if you will, as we go through our notes this morning. How do we love? What does that look like? So I don't expect you to remember all 10 things this morning. Just remember one thing, that God's called us to be a loving church, and God's called us to walk in love towards one another. But what does a loving church look like? First of all, a loving church loves God. Say with me this morning, love God. In fact, the Bible says this, love the Lord your God with, well, part of your heart, part of your soul, part of your mind, it says with all of your heart. Say with me this morning, all of your heart, your soul, your mind, with all of your strength. I love God with everything that's in me. I love God. So we love God. And I want to just emphasize this morning, the most healthy church is a church where everyone has a relationship with God, not just religion, but a relationship with God. Can I hear it this morning? Amen? I mean, it's got to be from the heart. Otherwise, we're just going through the motions and we check off the bucket list. I've been to church. The question isn't whether we've been to church. The question is, have we been with God? In other words, to feel His presence. Frank DiMaggio, who's a great pastor up in the Portland area, and has written lots of books on leadership, but I like what he said about the church. He said, every time your people walk into a church on Sunday, they need some kind of a hug from God. And we need a hug from God, but not only do we need a hug from God, but we need to give God a hug back. And I'm talking about loving God in a real way. So not religion, but just relationship. Secondly, this morning, a loving church loves each other, and you knew that. Say with me this morning, love each other. And Jesus said this, my command is this, love each other in what way? As I have loved you. Well, you got to think about how did God love you and how did Jesus love you? He's loved you with an unconditional kind of love. And he says, I'm going to just kind of take you as you are. I won't leave you where you're at, but I'm going to take you where you're at. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. But he calls it a command. Now, a command is more than a suggestion. I actually looked up command last night. I mean, I've said command, and I think I know what command is, but command has more authority in it than suggestion. It's not like I'm hoping you'll do this. God is kind of saying, in the kingdom of God, here's how this needs to work. We need to be a loving people. In other words, for us to be the church God wants us to be. How many of you know that a loving church is a magnetic church? People want to be there if they're loved. But I'll tell you what, if a church is just cold and indifferent, people, they'll just walk right past it. But if they feel the love of God and the love of people in a church, they'll come to that church. So love each other. He says, I'm commanding you to do this. Now, doesn't that seem to be a little bit unfair that God would command us to do something like that? Well, just put it this way. How many of you know, my son, Eric, and his wife were just at Disneyland a few weeks ago, and they live down in Los Angeles, but so they don't go there that often. But they were at Disneyland, and this time they were able to stay at the Disneyland Hotel. Everyone go, ah, the Disneyland Hotel, right on the property, which is really nice. But then Eric called me up and he said, Dad, we stayed at the Disneyland Hotel for, I think it was two nights. And two or three nights, whatever it was. But he said, man, they had the best service that we've ever had. He said, I've never been treated better in any hotel anywhere in the world than they treated us there. At every turn and on every day, all they did was give us great service and kind service. And he says, they're even better than the Ritz-Carlton. I go like, in my brain, I go like, well, when did you ever stay at a Ritz-Carlton? My goodness, I haven't had that happen yet. So anyway, but I can tell you why that happens, because Disney, one of their reasons for their success is they insist that the people that are coming to the place where they run the business are treated with great kindness and great care. How many know that what I'm saying is true? In other words, if they're not doing that, they're getting it wrong, but they insist on that. They feel like it's a reasonable expectation that everyone that works for them is going to treat the customer right. Now, let's take it down from the lofty heights of Disneyland to the streets of Elk Grove, where we live in this Sacramento region, and right to our local In-N-Out hamburger. Can I get a witness? Amen. Now, you know when you walk into an In-N-Out hamburger, they're going to greet you with a smile. Am I right? And they only have three products to sell, whatever it is. It's not much. But I'm telling you what, they're going to make sure that they're served up hot and fresh and right on the spot and with a smile. And 95% of the time, they're all going to be in a good mood. In fact, I'll even say most of the times I've been there, it's been 100% because they expect that we're going to treat the customer right, how he deserves to be. So there's an expectation there for customer service. You cannot be a successful business today and not have quality customer service. But Jesus is saying us to this, in the kingdom of God, how this has to work is we can't have anything less than being a loving church. Can I get a witness? Amen? And then he goes on to say this, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sin. So top priority is love. Number three, we love our neighbor. A loving church loves our neighbors. And the Bible says, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Now say it with me this morning, the entire law. The entire law is the law of God. I mean, you'd go way back to the Old Testament. There was about 600 laws back then. Boil it down to the Ten Commandments, but God says this, the Ten Commandments can be boiled down to one. Love your neighbor as yourself. So how many know that love is right at the top? So say it with me this morning, love my neighbor. And your neighbor is anyone that's in need, anyone that's hurting and has a real need is our neighbor. We took that takeaway from the Good Samaritan, the story of the Good Samaritan, the priest and the Levite that didn't help him, help the person that had fallen and was in need, but the Good Samaritan comes along and helps lift him up. So we are called to be good Samaritans to our neighbor, but our neighbor is anyone on the road of life who is hurting and has need of some help from us. So love your neighbor as yourself. But then it says this, love your neighbor as yourself. Say it with me this morning, as yourself. Which I got to ask the question, how well do you love yourself? Because I'm saying that if we really loved our neighbor as we loved ourselves, a lot of our neighbors would be in a bad way. They would not be being treated very well because you don't treat yourself very well. So if you didn't treat yourself very well, you're not treating your neighbor very well. Everyone, I know we go out of our way to treat a neighbor well, but I'm going to say this. God wants you to treat yourself well. Can I get a witness here this morning? This is good theology. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I want to just look you all in the eye this morning and say, stop being so hard on yourself. Stop putting yourself down. Stop criticizing yourself. Quit calling yourself a loser. You're not a loser. You're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loves you and gave himself for you. So when God created you, it was volume one, number one, and then he threw away the mold. God created you because he must have wanted someone just like you. There is no one else with your fingerprints, with your identity and all that stuff. He wants you. And so in other words, be kind to yourself. And so I don't do that whole bit that I used to do years ago or grew up and just look in the mirror and say, well, you're nothing or you're not going to whatever it is. No, I say, God, thank you. I like myself. I'm the only self I've got. I'm the only one I've got, so I better take good care of myself. And then when I blow it, or if I make a mistake, I'll say, well, I made a mistake, but I'm going to do better. But I'll tell you what, God loves me. I'm going to love myself, and I'm going to love others as well. Because the Word of God says, love your neighbors as you love yourself. You better love yourself, or it's hard to love others as well. Can I get a witness here this morning? Then the Bible even calls us to love our neighbors. Take it up another, you know, take it another step. Not just loving our neighbors, but love our enemies, our enemies. And the Word says this, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Say it with me this morning, love your enemies. Now, number four this morning, a loving church loves the poor, loves the poor. In fact, the Bible says this, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they've done. How many of you know that we have a poor problem in our country today? Shout back at me. We have a poor problem. It's not a poor problem. It's a poor opportunity, but an opportunity to help the poor. But we have an immense population of poor and homeless that are in our communities today. And God says this, that we need to love the poor. And here in California, here in the West Coast, where the climate is so inclined, where people don't come out here just to freeze to death, but we have a high homeless population right now that we're all trying. Government is trying, but we're trying to do the best we can. But God says this, watch how you treat the poor. Be kind to the poor, because when you're kind to the poor, you lend to the Lord, and God says, I'm going to repay you back for being kind to the poor. I'm thankful that Harvest Church has always been a church that has a heart to help the poor. In other words, we're not the best at it or anything like that, or look at us, but Harvest Church has always had a heart to help the poor. I've watched that over the years that I've been pastor here at Harvest Church. Last year, a couple of years ago, we were able to build a house, a little tiny house for the homeless. And I think it cost, I don't know, $20,000 or whatever it was, $15,000, $20,000 to build, whatever it might have been. We built this house, and that house right now is on site, and homeless individuals are living in that house right now that would have otherwise been out on the streets. I think that that's a good thing, amen? It's a small thing, but it's an improvement. It's better than doing nothing. So they're in that house. You helped to pay for it, and a bunch of you that are in here today helped to build it. But I want to thank God that we can help the homeless. Can I get a witness here this morning and be a blessing? Sowing in Love Ministries is a ministry here at Harvest Church that just took on a life of its own. Shannon and Kim Day, they're part of that ministry. And a bunch of you that go out every month to help the homeless. I just talked to Shannon this morning in the first service, and he said, Pastor Perry, last week we had another person that came to Christ. So since we started our ministry, 12 people have already come to Christ. Thank the Lord for that. Give the Lord a great hand clap for that. Amen. Elk Grove Winds is another ministry that we have every January, and where we house homeless individuals from the streets, come right into Harvest Church, stay overnight, and we work with a bunch of other churches in the area so that every week we share a place so that the homeless can have a place to be in the shelter. And then Convoy of Hope is another ministry that we give to. In fact, a couple of weeks or 3 or 4 weeks ago, you helped to give over $10,000 to help those in where the last hurricane was. What am I trying to say? The Bahamas. I want to thank you for just helping out with Convoy of Hope. But the Bible says this, when we love the poor, we lend to the Lord and he will repay. How many know that what I'm saying is true? Amen. Now, I've told this story before, but I was on my way a couple of years ago to a Giants game. And when we went to the Giants game, somebody had given us tickets to go to the Giants game. And so we went to the Giants game, but it was just full of people everywhere on the streets of San Francisco. I didn't know where to park or what to do. But then someone just came in through the cars and was hawking tickets, you know, to parking tickets. And I didn't know if they were good or not. But the person that was trying to get me to buy him, man, he looked like he needed help. And he also looked like he was working hard, which I respect. Anyone, even if you're hawking something, at least you're working hard, you know. And so I negotiated with him, and I got the tickets for, $20. And so I gave him $20 driving away, not even knowing if they'd be good or not. But I drove away, and I said to myself, you know what, that's not going to make him rich. It's not going to make me poor. But if you're going to side at all, side on the side of helping somebody out, okay? And anyway, I drove to the parking lot, and there it was. I actually had a parking stall. They let me in with a ticket, and I parked my car, and I said, man, that's great. Okay, it worked. And I got out of my car, and it was dusk out. I opened the car door up, and I walked right behind the car, and stuck to the ground was a $20 bill. And I mean, I grabbed it right now, and I go like, there it is. I didn't want it to blow away, but there's a $20 bill. And I go like, well, that's going to pay for the Polish hot dog with all of the stuff on it there, you know. But the Holy Spirit just spoke to me right there and said, you know what? What just happened? You lent to the poor, and you, in other words, you gave to the poor, but that was lending to the Lord. And God says, I'm going to repay you back right now. Hallelujah. Everyone, if we had stories here right now, there are so many of you that have helped the poor and helped lift them up overseas, right here on land. But I want to say thank you and keep up the good work. Can I get a witness anyway? There's a way to help everyone. Now, a loving church also loves fellowship. Say it with me this morning, fellowship. So the Bible says this, let us not neglect meeting together as some people do, but let's encourage one another, especially as you see the day of the Lord drawing near. We are closer to the second return of Jesus Christ than we've ever been. The Bible says this, in this world that we're living in that's so whacked up and so whacked out and so filled with sin, we need to encourage one another. Say it with me this morning, encourage one another. And so we encourage one another when we're in fellowship with them. How many of you love fellowship groups? Amen. Times to get together. And we have our life groups here. In fact, there's a listing of life groups that you received this morning. And I would encourage you to go to a life group sometime. In fact, you can go today. They're the first Sunday of each month. And usually the first week of each month, we have a listing of a life group that's in your planner today. But go to a life group. And you might say to me, Pastor Perry, I've gone to a life group, but not everyone's perfect. Well, they're not perfect because I attend a life group. Amen? I'm just saying that when I got there, they weren't perfect anymore. Can I get a witness? Amen? How many know that we need to encourage one another? And we do that in fellowship. I've had the best times in our life groups, and I've always walked away somehow encouraged by the Lord. I want you to turn to your neighbor right now, if you would, right here in this part of the message, and just encourage them. Say, be encouraged in the Lord. You're going to make it. Would you do that right now? Be encouraged in the Lord. You're going to make it. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't give up. Get up and keep going. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, go home and take a nap. After this message is over, can I get a witness? Amen? We love fellowship. Now, a loving church also loves serving. And the Bible says this, through love, serve one another. Say it with me this morning. Through love, serve one another. We have at least 200 or 300 individuals in this church that help to serve. I've got them listed on this listing right here, and it says TEAM, together, it's called team, together everyone achieves more. But there's about 200 or 300 people written down in fine print here that serve. Many of you are on this list, but I'm just saying, when you serve in your church, it's one thing to attend a church, but find a place over the year to serve in your church, and you're going to have more skin in the game. It's going to feel even more like your home church when you serve. Not just attend, but to serve. But we show love by serving one another in love. And today, I'm just grateful for all of the people that take time to serve us. And how many are glad for the sound people that are here today, the media people, amen? How many are glad for our choir and all of our musicians that sing, amen? Hallelujah. All the people that run PowerPoint every week. I mean, all these screens, they don't make themselves. I just send them out, we get them made up, and all of the people that do all of that. But thank God, everyone's finding a place to serve. Hallelujah. Now, the seventh thing that a loving church does, a loving church loves to give. They have a spirit of giving. And I'm not talking so much about receiving offerings here this morning, although that's a part of it, but a loving person wants to be a giving person, and it all started out with God. In fact, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he what? That he gave. Say with me this morning, that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But it all started with giving from God. Somebody said this, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. If you're a loving person, you're going to be a giving person. In all sorts of things, thank you for all that you do to give of your lives, to give of your time, to give of your resources, to do all of that. The Bible says this, God's going to bless you back with a great blessing. Given, it shall be given to you, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over, poured back into your lap. He says, for the same measure you use it, he says, I'm going to measure it back. But every time that we give of our time, our resources, all of that, of our love, God has a way of blessing you back. All right, number eight here this morning is this, a loving church loves with actions. Say it with me this morning, actions. How many of you have heard of some people that talk a good talk, but they don't really walk the good walk? They don't back it up with actions. You can say all you want, but man, put some actions behind it. I'd rather be not only a hearer of a word, but a doer of the word. And anything less than that, we deceive ourselves. And the Bible says this, dear children, let us not love with words or speech only, but with actions and in truth. So with actions and in truth. In other words, putting what we hear into action, that's the whole thing of a loving church. And then the ninth thing that a loving church has is this, it loves the truth. It loves the truth. Let me ask you this morning, how many of you love the truth? Amen. How many of you want to be a truthful person? From the inside out, truthful in all of your actions. How many of you want to be truthful in your actions, in your business, in your speech? Just do what you say you're going to do. Be a truthful person. But also, how many of you want to love the truth of God's word right here? Amen? So love the truth of God's word. In fact, the Bible, I found this in the Amplified version, and it was so cool. Let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, enfolded in love, let us grow up in every way and in all things into him who is the head, Christ Jesus. So it says this, let our lives, what? Lovingly expressing the truth. In other words, speaking the truth in love. So let's, whatever we do, let us do it lovingly, express the truth in all things. Say it with me this morning, in all things, speaking truly. Say it with me this morning, speaking truly. How many of you want to be a truth teller? Amen. Dealing truly. How many of you want to be good in all your dealings, to be dealing truly and living truly? And then all of that done in love. We love the truth. Hallelujah. You know what, everyone? I've been pastoring a church a long time now. I mean, two churches is all I've ever pastored, but I've been doing this now for whatever it is, 18, 28, almost 30 years. So, but I've seen a lot of stuff. But I've seen a lot of people that say they're truthful people, but then I get the Yelp back on them, and they're not truthful people. I've seen people where I've recommended them for jobs, and they never followed through in the jobs. I've seen people that I would rather recommend a drinking, cigar-smoking unbeliever that does what he says he's going to do than a believer who won't do what he says he's going to do. Can I get a witness here this morning? And just because you have a fish on your car doesn't mean nothing. You know? You know? I saw a bumper sticker once a long time ago. It says, if you love Jesus, pay your tithes. Anybody can honk. Can I get a witness? Amen? You know, they used to say honk if you love Jesus. Oh, it's getting too personal here now. I'm sorry. All I'm saying is let's put a little bit more walk in our talk. Instead of just having talk, walk it out. But I'm talking about having a fair balance. And I'm talking about doing what we say we're going to do. When we say we're going to do it, the church should be first and foremost. You should be able to say to a believer, man, if they said it, we can take it to the bank. That's all you need to know is from that church right there. They love truth. They deal in truth. They speak truth. And they live their lives in truth. Can I get a witness here this morning? Give the Lord a great hand clap for that truth right there. The Apostle John, you know, John the Beloved, the Apostle John, he said this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. No greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. No greater joy than what? He said, man, I'm just glad that my children walk in truth. And I'll tell you this, here at Harvest Church, our church family, I have no greater joy than to know that y'all walk in truth. The last thing here this morning, a loving church certainly loves the Word of God. How many of you love the Word of God? Love the Word of God? Learn to read the Word of God? In other words, everyone, I hear this over and over. I hear it more and more. Pastor, I just can't read the Word of God every day. Let me say, oh, yes, you can. And let me tell you why you can do is because you are smart. Boy, you don't believe me. And God made you to be able to read the Word of God. And let me just say this here this morning. As I speak right now, you're already thinking about your next meal. True? I don't know where you're going to eat today, but I know I'm thinking about my next meal. I'm always thinking about my next meal. And here's what I want you to know here this morning. As much, in other words, I want to encourage you to read your Bible at least once a day, whether it's a verse or a chapter or reading through the New Testament, but read it every day because as you need food for the body, you have to have food for the soul. This is the daily bread for the soul. Your body is going to be weak if you don't have food. Your soul is going to be weak if you don't have the word of the bread of life. You got to have them both coming in. So if I said to you, I want you to just eat once a day. You look at me cross-eyed. You go, Pastor Pierre, there's no way I'm going to eat four times a day. I'm only asking you to eat once a day from the Word of God. But you're going to say, I'm going to eat food four times a day, but I don't know if I can eat the Word of God once a day. Come on now. I'm saying here this morning, we're going to die spiritually without food for the soul. This is our necessary food for the soul. And you say, Pastor Pierre, I don't understand what I read. Read in the New Testament. You'll understand it. But here the thing is to make sure that you're saved, because if you're saved, God says, I'm going to open up your eyes so that you can see and comprehend the Scriptures. God has made you able. He's designed you to be able to understand this word. He would never write you a letter that you couldn't understand. And he'll challenge your thinking as well. Good grief, there's people here that say, I can't read the Bible, but you're an engineer. Come on. Or I can't read the Bible, but you're an airline pilot. Come on. Or I can't read the Word of God, but I am a lawyer and I passed the bar exams, but I can't read. Come on, give me a break. Can I get a witness? This is so simple to understand, a child can understand it. So we have a love for the Word. Woo! We are not only foodies, we are wordies. Can I get a witness? Amen? Hallelujah. So we love the Word. Now, I gave you this morning what a loving church looks like, and these are all just things that I wrote down, like what does a loving church really look like? And I shared those with you right now, not expecting to remember all 10 of them, just remember the one big idea. God's called us to be a loving church and to walk in love. Now, last thing this morning, give me 5 more minutes to wrap it up and we're going to go home, all right? Last thing. I was looking the other day at, are you still with me here this morning? I was looking the other day at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. What is 1 Corinthians chapter 13? It's called what? The love chapter. Now, I was just thinking about this, and the Holy Spirit just showed me something last week on this that I hadn't really seen. But it was kind of like a revelation. We use the love chapter for our, you know, now abides faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And we use that chapter in the context of marriage, the context of relationships, you know, the context of love and all, and that's a good thing. We use it mostly like that, or the individual kind of talking to us individually. But here's what I want you to see this morning. The love chapter was written to the church. It was the church at Corinth. And Paul wrote this letter to a church. And he was saying, this church right here has all kinds of problems. He was writing to the church at Corinth. You've got problems with pride. You've got problems with jealousy. You've got problems with how you use these spiritual gifts. You've got problems with disunity, problems with doctrine, problems with sin. He says, but I want to write you. You can get all of that straightened out. He talked about the body and how every part of the body is important. He talked about the gifts of the Spirit and said, you all need to have the gifts of the Spirit operating in your life. But then he goes to the next chapter, to chapter 13, and he says, but you can have all of these gifts and have all of these things going on, but if you don't have love, you don't have anything. He's talking to the church. The context of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is what a church looks like. It's not meant, it is meant for marriage and it is meant for individually, but the context was, this is how a loving church really needs to look. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he's writing to the church at Corinth, and he speaks to us today. So I want to ask you this morning, let's look at the loving church. A loving church looks and acts like this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the context was to the church. Here's what the church looks like. And I'd like you to read this morning with me and read it kind of loud with me if you would. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and if I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that I could remove mountains, but if I don't have love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Love does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects. It always trusts, always hopes, it always perseveres. Love never fails. Say with me this morning, love never fails. And then read the last part of it with me. And now abides faith, hope, and love, these three. But what? The greatest of these is love. The highest priority that we can have as a church is to be a loving church and to walk in love. So let's go back to where we started this morning. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and give himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Let's be the sweet church that God has called us to be. Let's be a church that walks in love. Let's be a loving church. And if you receive the word of God this morning, give the Lord a great hand clap of praise if you would. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand with me all across the room this morning. I want to just bless you before we leave this place today. Thank you, Lord God. You know, I don't have the lyrics to this song, and I won't sing it, but I'll say it, okay? We used to sing a song called Make Me More Like Thee. Jesus, make me more like Thee. Give me a heart that's filled with love and make me more like Thee. Say it with me this morning. Give me a heart that's filled with love and make me more like Thee. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Help us to have more love. The other day I was watching, just a couple of days ago, I was watching a YouTube video. They have everything on YouTube that you can think of. Might have been a Facebook, one of those scrolling videos. I don't know. Man, I hate what Facebook is. Just getting too complicated. And but don't worry, all of your information is safe. Anyway. That's why when you do a search for some little product, it pops up on Facebook or Google. Like, how did they know that I wanted that? You know, well, those algorithms will get you every time. I watched a little video that was on there that just caught my attention. It was a dog that was without an owner. It was a street dog that was out there that somehow had just been let go, and he was just in a crate, a wood crate, and he was just snarling. They were coming to help him. They were trying to help him, and he's just snarling. And it was like a German Shepherd mix, and he was just arr, arr, like that. He was very scrawny. He was very skinny, and he'd just been on the, he'd been beat up on the streets. And he just, the person that was trying to help him was like a dog specialist, and he just was just trying to comfort him and reach out to him, and the dog bit his hand, just bit his hand. And he goes, oh, man, he just bit my hand. But he says, I'm going to love this dog. And he says, this dog is going to love me in 3 days. You just watch. He's going to love me in 3 days. So he just sat next to that dog and just started talking to him. And the dog was just, for the first day, it was really pretty rough going, but he just kept talking to him. And then he offered him a little bit of dog food. The dog was settling down the first day. The second day, he was more trusting. And he says, just watch. In 3 days, this dog's going to be loving me. And he's going to love people. And so the second day was much better, more improved, and he got the dog to respond to him. The third day, the dog was licking his face and just licking his neck, and he says, this dog now is not only not angry at me, he's not angry at anyone else either. He just didn't know he could trust people. He's been only beat up by people, but now he's being loved by him. He said, I'm going to love him for 3 days, and in 3 days, this dog's going to be completely changed. And that dog was completely changed. And then they were able to offer it to a family to be adopted, a loving family to be adopted. Hey, there's a lot of people that walk in to this place every week that are beat up on the inside. And all they're hoping for is just a little bit of love. And they're not looking for a religious church. They're looking for a real church that'll love them. And I want to just say this morning, and it doesn't happen just like that. It doesn't necessarily happen just like that. But over time, I'm talking about, but in a short amount of time, 2 or 3, 4 days, I'm talking about any short amount of time, whatever that might be, trust is regained and love is restored. God wants us to be that kind of a church that when beat up people walk into this place, they can go like, man, I found help. I found healing. I found love in this place. Can I get a witness here this morning? It'll be like a magnet. It'll be like a magnet that draws people in. It'll be because love is just something that everybody needs and everybody wants, and everybody needs to have love. Lord, thank you right now. At the top of your list, it was love. First of all, you showed us your love, but then you said, I want you to love your neighbor as you love yourself. You can put all the commandments into that one. Lord, I just pray this morning that you'll help us to be the loving church you've called us to be. But Lord, it starts out with us being the loving individual and then the loving people, Lord God, in community for us to be that loving church. So Lord, let it all start in our own heart today. And I pray in your holy name. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you've shown me what real love is. Let your love, Lord Jesus, be shed abroad in my heart. Help me to be the person you've called me to be, filled with your love. And I pray it in your holy name, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Let us reach our world, Lord God, with your love. Let me pray a blessing over you right now. Father in heaven, I speak your blessing, your love, your favor, your mercy, your grace over your people today, Lord God. As we walk out of this place, let us walk at a new level of love. But I just speak your blessing over your people right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that we are bound together with bonds of love that cannot be broken, cords of love that cannot be broken. Thank you, Lord God, that we're part of the family of God. We pray all of these things right now in your mighty name. Let us walk in love in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said amen. Amen. Give the Lord the best hand of the morning if you do that. Amen. God bless you and have a wonderful day. We love you so much.